A variety of scientists and scholars in the Western world have made discoveries that reveal the existence of the source field, including controversial figures like Wilhelm Reich, who was a protege of Dr. Sigmund Freud, the father of psychology. Here, our source field investigations will begin with Dr. Clive Baxter, who summarized his fascinating life's work in his recent book, Primary Perception. The Stunning Power of Hypnosis. While attending Rutgers University Prep School, Baxter was fascinated to hear his friend describe a hypnosis technique he just learned from his professor. Baxter decided to try to hypnotize his roommate with this technique, who soon fell into a very deep trance. Baxter then told him, "Now, I want you to open your eyes, but you're not going to wake up. I want you to go down the hall and get permission for late lights." In this prep school, the students could not have their lights on past 10 p.m. without special permission. Under hypnosis, Baxter's roommate then opened his eyes, got up, walked down the hall, and got permission for late lights from the professor on duty. He signed the log and returned to the room. When Baxter brought his roommate back out of hypnosis, he didn't even realize anything had happened to him. See, it doesn't work. This so-called hypnosis is a bunch of baloney. When they walked down to the on-duty professor, he confirmed that Baxter's roommate had just come and asked permission a few minutes earlier, but the roommate couldn't believe it was real. He was then shocked to discover his own signature in the late lights log. Baxter began researching hypnosis, reading as many books as he could find on the subject, which were not that many in the late 1930s, and performed additional successful experiments. After the devastating attack on Pearl Harbor in 1941, Baxter joined the military ROTC program at Texas A&M University. And there, he began making frequent demonstrations of hypnosis to larger audiences. Typically, about a third of his audience went into some stage of trance, and he picked the deepest subjects for more intensive work. One man was told he would not be able to see Baxter in the room for the next 30 minutes after he woke up. Indeed, once this subject was brought out of hypnosis, he could not see Baxter at all. Just to test how far this would go, Baxter picked up a cigarette and blew out some smoke, although he was not a smoker. This man saw the cigarette and the smoke levitating in the air, but he could not see anyone holding it, and he became very alarmed. He wanted to leave the room, but the audience compelled him to stay. After the 30 minutes, Baxter again reappeared to him. He followed his post-hypnotic commands perfectly, with no conscious memory of what he had been told to do. My own introduction into the powers of hypnosis came after I had a dramatic, out-of-body experience. When I was only 5 years old, I woke up one night and found myself floating about 3 feet over my own body. That little boy in the bed was breathing normally. But if he was me, then who the heck was I? This quickly started to scare me, and as soon as I panicked, I snapped back into my body. For the next 2 years, I wished I could have another chance to explore this bold new frontier, but nothing happened. When I finally asked my mother how I could learn more about this, she took me down into the basement and suggested I read some books she had on ESP, extrasensory perception. The first one I read was Harold Sherman's How to Make ESP Work for You. Sherman said that when you hypnotize someone, you can get them to have an out-of-body experience like I had, with apparently stunning results. The deeper the state of trance, the more activated become the extrasensory faculties of the subject. Under these conditions, he can be instructed to leave the body and to visit a certain person or place, and to report on what he sees and hears.